There are many potentially important regional implications from these elections. That's a precedent for competitive elections. You know, the Greater Horn of Africa and East Africa more generally lag far behind Southern and West Africa in terms of the quality of democracy. So given the size of Ethiopia's population and its leadership role on the continent, to the extent that Ethiopia can make tangible progress in its democratic systems, it shifts the norms and expectations for elections elsewhere in the Greater Horn. You know, I think it's also highly significant that these elections offer the opportunity for more participation and representation in Ethiopia's most populous regions, something that we haven't seen under the minority-ruled EPRDF. And we could take that back further, that we really have not seen popular representation throughout Ethiopia's history. And so to the extent that Ethiopia can move in these directions, it's an important milestone for the region, especially with the complicated transitions we're observing in Sudan and Somalia. And so it may provide something of a guidepost for expectations and ways forward. I think the age factor is also notable. Africa is the world's youngest region. At the same time, it's typified by aging leaders who have stayed in power past their constitutionally mandated term limits. So the potential precedent that Abiy represents as a young elected leader is noteworthy.
Abiy Ahmed made the Grand Ethiopian Renaissance Dam a national pride project, playing a vital role in the country's development, providing large amounts of hydropower. Egypt and Sudan said he showed no flexibility whatsoever in negotiations with them, even with U.S. mediation. If elections provided him with electoral mandate, political legitimacy, and consensus, how could that impact the already troubled negotiations with the downstream countries?
Well, over the past year, really since Ethiopia has begun filling the dam, Ethiopia has become increasingly reluctant to engage in negotiations with Egypt and Sudan over the management of the dam and the water flow. So it's hard to say what's going to happen following the election, especially if it provides electoral victory and greater legitimacy for Abiy. Historically, around the world and Africa, we've seen that democracies, countries that are more democratic, are more prone to mediation, and they have incentives to avoid conflict. Moreover, democracies tend to be more interconnected with the international system, and therefore they have incentives to maintain positive relationships with their key international partners. So to the extent that Abiy gains legitimacy and he has incentives to act more democratically and doesn't feel isolated internationally, I believe it's going to increase the likelihood that Ethiopia will resume negotiations in good faith, trying to reach some final agreements on the GERD.
How about the implication of his election regarding the border dispute with Sudan?
Well, I think the same pattern will hold if Abiy is increasingly seen as a democratically elected leader. Then he has incentives to maintain that reputation and to try and resolve differences through mediation rather than through conflict. And, you know, I think the leaders in Sudan have also shown a willingness to negotiate. And so I think this border conflict has always been something that is resolvable through negotiation. Neither side has a lot to gain by starting another conflict, given the other serious challenges they face. And so, I think to the extent that Abiy is seen as an increasingly legitimate leader, it increases the latitude he'll have to try to find a negotiated settlement.